Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Hur Yis Daf Yud Beis, Hur Yis 12a, pagination is 23. We'll start from about a quarter of the way down, which is midway in the smaller lines, towards the end of the line. Tafresh Tanu Rabbanan Ketzad. We learned how, or what is the methodology of Moshkin Es HaMalachim, to anoint kings. And the answer is Kemin Nezer, like a crown. That's how the anointing oil was used on his head. Vesa Kohanim, but when you're doing Kohanim, you want to anoint the Kohen Gadol. Kemin Chi, it's like a key. My Kemin Chi, what exactly does it mean, like a key? Amrav Menashya Bar Gada Kemin Chof Yevoni. It's like a Chof Yevoni, like a Greek Chof. Now, we would need to go into the Greek alphabet and try to figure out which letter is being referred to when we use the word Chof Yevoni, a Chof of the Greeks. You'll take a quick look at Rashi, and you'll see that Rashi has a picture. Chof Yevoni Kazeh, like this. And what is presented in our print looks very much like a Ches, which prompts us to wonder if indeed the letter being referred to is a letter that looks like our Ches. Why would we go to the Greek alphabet to figure out the Ches? Just say it's a Ches. It's a Hebrew Ches. We know what a Ches is. Why would we go to the Greek alphabet? Also, when we do go to the Greek alphabet, as modern scholars are aware of the Greek alphabet in its ancient form, the letter that looks like a Ches is not referred to as a Chaf. It's referred to as pi. And this letter Ches in the middle of Rashi as the diagram is a bit confusing. Indeed, you'll notice the ayin going to a side note in the Mesoras HaShas, who writes, Tzura zu mishubeshes. This is a mistake. This diagram that was put here, illustrative purposes, it's messed up. But if you go to the Rambam, Perek Aleph of Klei Mikdash Halacha Tes, the Rambam indeed makes a distinction between the king and the Kohen as they're being anointed. The king is Kemin Nezer, like a crown, and the Kohen is like a ki yevonis kazeh, and he makes an X. Indeed, there is no X in the Hebrew alphabet. There is an X in the Greek alphabet. And if what we were supposed to do was an X, then the Greek alphabet would be the way to let us know what we're supposed to do. And indeed, the letter that looks like an X is referred to as chi, C-H-I, in its description, in its pronunciation. Also, in the Gemara Krisus, Daftes, where this Gemara is, this statement is also brought, the Gemara says, Moshkim es hamalachim kimin nezer, kings are done like a crown, ves hakohanim kimin chi, and the kohanim are done like a chi. And then the Gemara obviously wants an explanation. What does kimin chi mean, like a key? Amar Rav Menashya kimin chi yevoni. Rav Menashya explains, like a key yevoni. We're talking about the Greek alphabet. Okay. And suddenly, it does appear that there's some sort of copyist mistake in our Gemara. Firstly, the Gemara itself used the word chaf yevani, and perhaps it's supposed to be ki yevani. And in Rashi as well, he's making a diagram of a ches, which the Mesoras HaShas says is mishubeshes, is a mistake. And Rashi in Krisus, in fact, uses the symbol of an X. So unless there's some other approach that Rashi was trying to explain on the word Chof Yevani, that's in our Gemara, assuming there's a machlokis between Hurrius and Krisus, and Rashi was doing a ches, and we have all of our questions as to ches doesn't make sense in the Greek alphabet, and it would make much more sense to just cite the Hebrew alphabet. We have questions about that. But barring all that, it would seem that the easiest way to learn over here is that the Mesoras HaShas says there's a mistake here, and be comfortable that the X symbol is the correct one, and that's what you should work with. We likewise have this same issue, Rashi and Chumash. In Parshas Kisisa, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chaf Vav, we find presented that they would use the Shemen HaMishcha Kimin Chi, and then in parentheses, some word it as Chaf Yevanis. And that some word it as Chaf Yevanis is what's a bit misleading or confusing over here, and we should be comfortable using the word Kimin Chi. There is indeed a Greek letter, that's an X, that's the Rambam's approach, that's the way Rashi presents it in Krisus, that's the way the text of the Gemara in Krisus is worded, and we simply have an issue, so to speak, in our Gemara, and perhaps, as the Mesoras HaShas is saying, Mishubeshes, it's a mistake, and it's supposed to be ki yevani, that letter in Greek. Dropping down in our Gemara to the fifth of the wides, Tanu Rabbanan, we learnt, Ein moshchem es hamalochim ela al hamayon. You are supposed to anoint a king by a spring, water that's running, because it's a good omen that his kingship should continue. It should have longevity, referring presumably to the king and to his offspring. And indeed, this is a halacha by Malchei Beis David, when you anoint them, that it's done by a spring. Once we've broadened our topics from the anointing of the king to good omens of where to go ahead and do that, the Gemara continues in a fascinating presentation of different things that a person might do to achieve a good omen. We have a story here, for example, about midway in the wide lines towards the beginning of a line. The first word is mitzlach, and then we continue. Hayman debay lemefech leurcha. A person is going out on a journey. Uboy lemeda ichazar vaasi levesa ilo, and he wants to know if he's going to return safely or not. Nekum bevesa dechavra. He should go into a dark house. Ichazi bevoa debevoa, and if he sees the shadow of the shadow, whatever that means, leda dahada vaasi levesa, he'll know that he's coming home safely. And if not, there's a question mark. Says the Gemara, V'lav milsohi. It's not true, it's not a good thing to do. Not recommended. Dilma chol shadaita u'misra mazle. Because it could be he won't see the shadow of the shadow, and he's still destined to come home safely, but because he doesn't get the good omen, even though it bottoms out at neutral, he's going to feel badly, and that itself will do him in. Because if his attitude is one of sadness, and expecting the worst, then his mazel, loosely translated as luck or destiny, is going to be impacted. We have this concept by a dream that's not interpreted is like a letter that has not been read. It's not going to be acted upon. But if a dream is interpreted, then the way it's interpreted, depending on your attitude, that's going to make the difference. And if he's going to do this omen and doesn't get the reading that he's hoping for, he might get depressed, and that depression could do him in. And therefore, the Gemara's recommendation is don't do it. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, and this is quite famous because of the law that it impacts regarding the night of Rosh Hashanah, Hashta da'amrit simana milsahi, now that you've told me that omens make a difference, your attitude, your statement, we have that sometimes the prophets would actually do something. They would hit, they would do something to say who's going to be victorious. A mini act representing great energies in the world. La'olam yehi rogel lemechse b'rei shata. A person should be careful. The wording of our Gemara is lemechse would be to see. So even if you don't particularly like to taste these things, just to see these things. In the Mesoras HaShastes, he says lemechel, to actually eat them. B'rei shata. In any case, these items are kara, squash, verubia, and fenugreek. Some people take carrot because in Yiddish it's merin, means a lot, just like rove to mean a lot. Karsi, leek, which has the same word as cutting off, so we could pray that the enemies should be cut off. Vasilka, and beet, vitamri, and dates. And of course, each one of these things is going to be used in association with a Yehi Ratzon, with a prayer. And that's the concept of an omen, that you link your prayer, your statement, to get together with something tangible in this world. Now, the Meiri comments we're really not into these things of omens, and there's a mitzvah prohibition of nachesh, of not going the direction of omens. And therefore, the Meiri says, Tiknu lomar aleim devarim hama'orerim l'tshuva. What's really carrying the day over here is the tshuva that's associated with the prayer, hanhaga tova, that a person resolves to have good behavior. And indeed, when it comes to omens and segulos, the mainstream approach is to do things that we're obligated in anyway, so that a person would check the mezuzahs. Okay, it's something you're supposed to be doing anyway. Tzedakah, tefillah, Torah, all of these types of things. And that's the ideal expression of a segula, a simana milsahi, to bring us to a renewed sense of shemiras mitzvahs, observing Torah. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.